This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Open for Business here on BFM 89.9, the business station, and I'm Lily Chai. Let's face it, can any Malaysian really resist a good ice cream? Malaysia also has a new addition to this dessert family, which is gelato. But what's the real difference between gelato and ice cream? Well, I don't have an answer to that, but I do have an expert in the studio today to answer that question. I'm with Angie Leong, the founder of Hummingbird and Mallow's Gelato. Hummingbird and Mallow's Gelato offers local and botanical-inspired artisan gelatos. Angie was a pastry chef for 6 years prior to this. She started making gelatos with the intention of sharing good gelatos among close friends and family. She has been running this artisan gelato business since October 2020, and she's here to share her business journey with us today. Good morning, Angie.
Hi, Lily. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
A pleasure to have you. Now, first, tell us, what is the real difference between gelato and ice cream? I know, like, gelato is Italian, right? And it means ice cream in Italian, but what is the real difference between gelato and ice cream?
Okay, so for gelato, it contains 5 to 8% of fats, definitely more milk and lesser cream. As compared to ice cream, there is more than 10% of fat. Hence, gelato is definitely healthier. And also gelato, we churn it slower. So it has lesser air. We incorporate lesser air into it. So you taste, the taste is definitely more intense as compared to ice cream. So yeah, for ice cream, it has up to 50% of air. So sometimes when you eat, it's very light.
Yeah. Okay, so do you claim to your gelatos to be healthier, the healthier option compared to industrial and commercial ice cream?
Definitely, if you're talking about comparing to the ice creams, like manufactured ice creams, is definitely healthier because the ice creams outside tend to use oil base to create the creaminess instead of cream. But of course, we are not sugar-free. So definitely, if somebody is diabetic, we wouldn't recommend. But we are still on the lower sugar side.
Okay, right. Now, tell me about the story behind the name Hummingbird and Mallow's Gelato. And how did you come up with the name?
Okay, so prior to this, when I was working in Singapore, I did see a lot of botanical-inspired gelatos around already. But I see, at that time, Malaysia, I see lack of artisanal gelatos in Malaysia. And then I thought of like, hey, why not let me just bring this over. And I do see there are a lot of very good flora and faunas, and I want to incorporate this into the gelatos as well. So hummingbird actually represents happiness and harmony, and then mallows is actually the family name of the hibiscus flower. So if you put it together, that's how hummingbird and mallows happen.
You mentioned that there are not many artisanal and botanical gelatos in Malaysia. What does artisanal mean in gelatos context, and why do you claim your brand to be botanical?
For artisanal gelatos, they are mostly carefully crafted and also in small batches. And what we do in HM Gelato is that most of our gelatos are gelato base are different for each flavor. So like example, our bestseller, the Earl Grey raspberry, we infuse the Earl Grey tea leaves for 24 hours to extract the flavor instead of using like the ready used Earl Grey powder. So same for the rest of the flavors like the Tahitian vanilla pods. Whereas for the botanical side, it means using fruits, herbs, seeds and nuts, basically any edible botanical ingredients. Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's sidetrack a little bit. You said you were a pastry chef for 6 years in Singapore, right? Yeah. And I believe you had made, you know, many different types of pastries. But why did you choose to sell gelatos at the end? Why not, you know, croissants or cakes or cookies?
At the time, I did realize the lack of artisanal gelatos in Singapore. And also, I was very, very fortunate that I was working with an Italian chef back in Singapore, and I managed to learn the basics of making the real gelato. And this is a knowledge that not every pastry chef gets to learn.
Mm. So are you saying that you have incorporated all the knowledge that you learned from your mentor into your business right now?
Yes, definitely. But okay. I've been trying to incorporate more special flavors, definitely catering more for the locals as well.
Okay, let's talk about your gelatos. You offer a mix of Western and Malaysian gelato flavors, such as pink guava asam to Earl Grey milk tea, right? There are in total about 10 flavors to choose from. How do you decide on what ingredients to use in your gelatos? Was there any like research done beforehand, or you just choose according to the ingredients that are available to you?
Because I was from the pastry background, I work pretty well with flavor combinations, and I do get very random inspirations around. Let's say we're talking about the flavors that I come up with, right? So there's this very cute story that I would like to talk about. So we have one very special flavor that it's sweet potato candied ginger. So as I'm not a ginger fan personally, but like how this story happened was a friend's mother gave me a huge packet of candied ginger during the very early stage of the business, and then she just went, hey, do something with it. And we came across with a really good purple sweet potato from one of our suppliers. Then I was like, hey, this flavor should work since it's the flavor of the Chinese sweet potato ginger soup, like how our moms like to cook it at home. Yeah, then ever since then, this flavor is loved by many, even non-ginger lovers like me. Yeah, for ingredient sourcing, it comes from different places in the world. For instance, like our pistachio paste, like the pure pistachio paste, we definitely have to source it from Italy. And for fruit-based flavors, like you're talking about pink guava or like mango, we use mixture of local fresh fruits or fresh fruit purees from France. And things like yuzu juice, we will source it from Japan.
Okay, so from what I gather, you choose your flavors according to what you want.
Yes.
Okay, so you also mentioned about sourcing from overseas, right? So are you looking to source nationally?
I think if I can, I would love to work with more local brands and also local small farmers. Even though I'm a small business and I couldn't make a huge impact, but some of our ingredients like the fresh roselles or like the fresh limes and lemons, we try to use the local producers. Obviously, further down, if we are able to even do in a mass quantity, I would definitely want to source locally lah. And it's definitely on the cheaper end if I am able to get it in bulk.
Right. On your page as well, you also do seasonal gelatos using seasonal fruits too. Why did you choose to do seasonal products? Is it cheaper, or is there any reason behind it?
I don't think it was more towards the budget. It was more of a passion. I used to work in a kitchen, so we do use seasonal producers, and most of the seasonal producers are so limited. And sometimes I would want to bring in some seasonal fruits for the locals to try. So, for instance, we had the Sabah Bambangan fruit we did back in 2020 for Malaysia Day. And I realized there were a lot of West Malaysians didn't know about this fruit. Yeah. So it is more like a passion, and it's not so much on earning from it, but to educate more.
And educate the Malaysian market about the producers that are available to us, but we have no knowledge and make no use of such produce, right? Okay, so let's talk about, you know, the F&B sector has been having a very hard time sourcing ingredients, especially due to supply chain disruption, and dairy suppliers have also raised prices at least twice this year. So how have these disruptions affected your costs? And do you see yourself increasing your price, or are you still able to maintain your profit margin for now?
It definitely affected a lot on my side, since there are most of my stuff are also imported as well. We are currently closed, so when we reopen, definitely there is changes in our price, and there are a lot of things I cannot change because it's so important for me to use a good ingredients. I didn't want to change the ingredients too much just to lower the cost and then affect the quality of the product. So this part, there are a lot of process to source new suppliers as well.
Okay. Now, it's time for us to take a short break, but don't go anywhere. I'm here with Angie Leung, the founder of Hummingbird and Mao's Gelato, here on Open for Business, BFM 89.9, the business station.
Billions from me, BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. This is Open for Business here on BFM 89.9, the business station. I'm Lily Chai. I'm here today with Angie Leung, the founder of Hummingbird and Mellow's Gelato, here on Open for Business. Before the break, we were talking about their background, their genesis of the brand and the products as well. Also touched on a little bit of a supply chain disruption and how it has affected their profit margin. Angie, I would like to ask regarding your production. You have a small production space for these gelatos that you make, and you only make gelatos in small batches. So how many tubs of gelatos can be produced usually in one full production cycle? And is the whole process fully automated?
So for each batch, we try to not make more than 5 kgs. Yeah, so that will be around maybe 20 tubs per batch. And for the production process, it's not fully automated. It's actually a mix of both. So we're doing it manually and automated. So for our production, it can take up to 24 to 48 hours. There's definitely many ways to do it, but this is how I do it. Starting with manually cooking a base in a pot, we will age it for 24 hours. Some flavors require longer if there's infusion involved. So like the chrysanthemum or the Earl Grey tea. Yeah. So the next day, normally we just strain off the infusions, and some flavors we will have to add in the nut paste to the base. And this will be the manual part. And then the next process will be churning the gelatos, and this is the automated part lah.
Okay, so are you looking to replace the manual part of things with automation in the future?
Yes, but for artisanal gelatos, currently I would prefer to do it manually because, as mentioned earlier, we use fresh ingredients, and sometimes not every ingredient tastes the same. So there are a lot of tasting to do before we churn it out, yeah.
Right.
In order to get the same quality.
To stay consistent, right?
Consistent,
okay.
Yeah.
So how many orders do you have on average per month now? And is the production process still the same as when you first started out?
For a month, we are actually going slightly slower on the tubs now. So we're talking probably only 300 tubs a month, but we are focusing a lot on events and B2B currently. Yeah. And for the production, definitely changed from the time that I started. It's definitely a lot more. And yeah, a lot more to do.
Okay, so you mentioned about B2B supplying, right? So I assume that you have been supplying gelatos to other F&B sectors as well?
Yes.
Okay, so you mentioned that your chain was only able to produce 5 kg of gelato. So how are you keeping up with supplying to others, and how do you manage the demand?
This one is a lot of time management. I think working in a pastry kitchen last time, we definitely have to be very good with our time management. Yeah. So currently, the most of our B2B customers are only taking our vanilla gelato, which is also part of our menu. So for this, it's definitely a lot in quantity. Definitely, we have to churn not only by one batch. Sometimes we can go up to 4-6 batch per day.
Okay, so yeah. This is an additional income stream for you, correct?
Yeah.
How much MOK are you looking for? And how much do you charge when you supply to these businesses?
Okay, so for MOQ, we normally tell our customers to order minimum 2.5 kg. That is the minimum amount for our churners per batch. And then for the price, we are charging in between 60 to 100 per kg for the gelatos. Yeah.
Okay. How much capital was put into the business to buy equipment and other expenses?
I would say roughly 60 to 65K. It's definitely not on a cheap side for a small business. But to me, it was so important to make good gelatos. And good gelatos require very good gelato machines and also a blast freezer.
Are you looking to increase the speed of production to meet demands? Or are you looking to renting a bigger production space?
Currently, we are actually in the midst of moving to a bigger space and investing for bigger machineries also.
Okay. Can you share numbers about your profit margin for each tub of gelato?
So we are trying to keep our costs below 30%. So we're at like below 30. So depending on flavors, so our profit margin is looking at around 70 to 80%.
So have you broken even or become profitable yet?
Yes, we've broke even after a year.
Okay. I want to touch a little bit about the logistics, right? Because ice cream and gelato are not easy things to send across cities. And how was the process of finding the right logistics or delivery partner and the right packaging as well to ensure that the quality you want is maintained and delivered to your customers? And like, how did you navigate through that?
So currently, because our quantity is still not a lot, I'm still using third-party couriers. So that's Lalamove and Grab. We also have part-time drivers as well. For this part, ideally, I would want a freezer truck, but we don't have the quantity to get one yet. So if you're talking about like how I arrange our logistics, to be honest, I have no control over who and how to get the right one. But since our product require proper packaging and the right temperature, it's very important for us to make sure we don't assign one driver to too many locations and assure that the gelatos are properly packed and blast freeze before it goes out for delivery. So when normally customer will receive the gelatos in tip-top condition.
So are you planning to expand your the availability of your products nationwide, like putting them in retail or shelves of cafes, things like that?
We are still planning on this. For nationwide, maybe not yet, because I'm very particular about the texture of the gelatos. And normally the best way to send over state deliveries are definitely using dry ice. And it does affect the texture sometimes. Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to talk about a little bit on partnerships, right? You do a lot of partnerships with different local brands such as Phil's Pizza, Sishu Pantry, and you also participate in pop-ups as well. How much have these pop-up and partnerships helped you in terms of your sales? And how do you decide on what pop-ups to go to?
For deciding the pop-up site, definitely it has to be the one that able to drive crowd for me. Because for our pop-ups, we have a lot of costs involved, like logistics. Definitely, we need to use a van. And then we also need part-timers or like a scooper. So this one, I will normally have to check with the organizers to see what is the crowd like. And how did I got into all these partnerships with other businesses? Actually, I'm very fortunate that most of them approached me after they tasted the gelatos. And I'm also very fortunate that a lot of business owners now I can call friends. Some of them started off as regulars as well. And then along the way, we were able to discuss for collaborations and pop-ups. And also definitely by word of mouth. It definitely helped a lot in terms of sales. It also there were a lot of brand awareness lah when it comes to all these brands, especially Fuse Pizza. They were already very well known around KL. So yeah, it did help a lot with our sales. There were a lot of their regulars became our regulars also.
Okay. Is this a one-woman show or how big is your team currently?
Currently, the team is just one-woman show. But with the whole moving to the bigger space, I'm definitely looking to hire more people to drive me to learn how to make gelato.
Okay, so what are your future plans moving forward? Besides the bigger production space, are you looking at franchising or improving your distribution channels?
I think for the expansion part, we are looking towards more on customization service and events. Recently, I've been venturing into the customization side. So we've been doing flavors that are not in our menu for our clients and cafes.
Thank you so much for spending time with me today, Angie.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
I've been speaking to Angie Leong, the founder of Hummingbird and Mallow's Gelato. If you want to know more about them, where can they find you, Angie?
You can search us on Instagram. It's hm.gelato.
Yeah. Right. If you miss any part of this show, you can go ahead and download the podcast on our website at bfm.my or the BFM app that is available on the Apple App Store and Google Play. I'm Lily Chai, and this has been Open for Business here on BFM 89.9, the Business Station.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the Business Station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.